how glorious our Lord is. Our senior pastor, Pastor Walker, is away, as he mentioned last week. He's away in the States. He's joined the family, and also he's going to do ministry there. So he asked me to minister to you the word of God today. I would like to be thankful to him for giving me this opportunity just to share with you the word of God. And I believe that I'll be able to share it with you as it has been given to me. Before we go to the word of God, I would like us just to, let's just stand up. Let's hold our hands together. Hallelujah. And let's pray together. Father, we join our hands in agreement this morning in readiness for the ministering of your word. And Father, we are convinced that as your word comes to us today, this morning, it shall do the purpose for which you are sending it, and that it shall not return to you void. And so, Lord, we yield to you in the name of Jesus Christ. In agreement, we surrender to you. In agreement, Lord, we open our hearts to the word. We refuse anything that stands between your word and us. Any mask, we remove it by the power of God in the name of Jesus. Together, we agree. And, oh Lord, receive the spirit of the word. And Father, may your name be glorified as your word is preached to us today. That our hearts shall be touched, our hearts shall be changed, and that nothing shall hinder us from achieving the purpose for the word today. And Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for what you're doing to us today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you. Go ahead and just take your seats. Please turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter, you can say Peter, is towards the end there. The end, the very end is Revelation, and then you come a few other books there, and Jude and the others, then 1 John, and then you find 1 Peter. That's where we are. It's one of those small letters in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is where we're going to take our reading from. I'd like you to open your heart to the word. And I would like you to be expectant as the word of God is ready to you. We're going to read a few verses at the beginning of the chapter. Then we'll go to where we're going to settle today, which is verse 9. But let's start from verse 2. We'll read verse 2 and verse 5. The Bible reads, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Verse 9. From the New American Standard, 95, the Bible reads, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." The New King James Version reads the same verses, verse 9 and verse 10. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Pastor Walker has been preaching about redemption. We've had a series about redemption for quite a while. And last Sunday, we saw how that we, now that we are children of God. I tried to look for a word probably that would be different from what we've been talking about, what we've been learning, but I couldn't make it, and I felt persuaded and compelled to have something, almost the same thing that the pastor has been talking about. What we've just read are descriptions, are titles, names. And the Bible is full of titles and names that describe the type of people those who are in Christ have become. We've just read a few of them. The Bible says, "For you are a chosen generation." The other version said, "You are the chosen race, a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You're God's own special people. And you've got a mandate. And you've got a purpose. And there is a reason he has saved you." These are few that we have read. But the Bible is full of such descriptions. There are plenty of them. And the Bible talks about the people that have become children of God. Let me give you a few more. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21, we say we are the new creation. We are Christ as ambassadors. We are the righteousness of God. In Romans chapter 8. Oh, before I go to that, we are the new creation. It means we are brand new. When you are in Christ, you are a brand new person. Brand new means no one else has used you. I know those of you that have vehicles. When we say this vehicle is new, that means the chairs were still in plastic covers. It means the mileage is still low. Thank God we've got vehicles now that are coming from Japan reconditioned nicely. And everything is perfect when you enter into them. But when you check the mileage, you discover that those vehicles have been used before. But I thank God, they're wonderful. But a new one, a brand new one, is new. And the Bible says, those that are in Christ, they've become a new creation. It says we are Christ as ambassadors. We have become an ambassador is a person that is representing his country into another country. The values and the principles and the ideologies and the everything that they practice in the country where they have gone to is from their country. They move with the flags in front of their vehicles. They are ambassadors. Inside there, it's like they have transplanted their country and then planted it into another country and exist there. You go inside their embassy, you will find the rules that govern their country. And yet they are in your country. And so they become ambassadors. They represent the president where they're coming from. They represent the government of the country they're coming from. They are ambassadors. If they are from certain countries where they dress in a certain way, they've got a dress code in a certain way, they are going to do just that. Because they are representing their country, even though they are in your country. How many people know that when you become a Christian, you become a representative of Jesus Christ? You represent you. If you misbehave in the country where you've been sent to, there is something known as being recalled. Sometime when you are recalled, they will reassign you. Or they will simply recall you and dump you in the country because you have violated the principles under which you're supposed to function. You are not your own. You are a representative of the country that sent you there. You are an ambassador. We are Jesus Christ's ambassadors on earth. Amen. We represent Jesus Christ on earth. That means where Jesus Christ is, he doesn't bother about the earth because he knows you are here. And they say, we are the righteousness of God. We stand right before God. We are no longer condemned, we've been accepted. We are in good terms. We are in good books with the Lord. We are the righteousness of God. In other ways, the righteousness of God is in us. We are the righteousness of God. These are the titles that I'm describing for you. In Romans chapter 8, verses 16 to 17, the Bible says, we are children of God, and everybody knows what it is to be a child of somebody. We are heirs of God. In other words, we share the inheritance with God. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Psalms 107 says, we are the redeemed. And the pastor has been sharing with us all these things. That means we have been purchased. We've been redeemed. We are peculiar people. We are unique people. God has purchased us. We've become God's own people. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13, the Bible says, we are above only and not beneath. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, the Bible says, we are more than conquerors. You know, they are conquerors. Conquerors are people who conquer. They annex a group of people and conquer them. You've seen fighters boxing in the ring. They're fighting, they're hitting each other with blows. And then the one that hits the other one, the other one fell down and fails to rise up. That one has become a champion. Oh, the one who hits the other with more blows, and when they count at the end of the rounds and say, this one has hit the other one the most, becomes a winner. But you notice that in the boxing ring, you are not going to conquer. You're not going to win without you receiving blows. Sometimes even the conqueror is bruised. Both of them actually end up going to the hospital for examination. You've seen that. But you know, because you hit the other one the most, you are the winner. There is pain in you, but you are the winner. Like Mike Tyson will go there and hit, and go, he's the winner. But you know that he's the winner, but he's in pain. But he's the champion. He's the conqueror. But you know what? There's one person who was not in the ring. When Mike Tyson was hitting and also receiving blows, you said if he received that check, you're going to say, he really worked for it, isn't it? But there is one person who didn't even step in the ring. That person didn't even receive a blow, doesn't even have a scratch. They were just behind there cheering. Sometime when Mike Tyson was hit, they even looked behind and said, my goodness, he's hit. But when Mike Tyson gets a check, takes it to this person. And this is the wife. She even says, oh, honey, thank you very much for this thing. Let's go to Manda here. I know what I'm going to buy, chocolate. She has the budget. And women, when they mean to make a budget out of the champion's money, they make a good one. You know, that woman has become more than a conqueror. Mike Tyson is the conqueror, but this woman is more than a conqueror. She's benefiting from where she didn't even saw. By virtue of being the wife of Mike Tyson, she's more than a conqueror. Guess what? Jesus Christ died on the cross. One time I had a dream. And in the dream I saw, somebody came to me and said, let me take you through what Jesus Christ went through. And suddenly a picture opened up in front of me. There was a screen. And I started seeing what happened to Jesus Christ from the time he was actually arrested up to the time he reached the place of crucifixion. I saw the picture and someone was leading me at every stage, explaining to me every stage. And I could not stand what I was seeing. I started weeping uncontrollably. I cried in a dream and I'm crying and I'm weeping because I could not stand what I saw. That what Jesus Christ went through. I couldn't stand. And suddenly, this person who was leading me came and tapped me back here on the shoulder. I said, hey, look at me. Don't cry. Stop crying. And I said, this man doesn't know what he's talking about. I should stop crying after seeing all this. And said, stop crying. You know, what you have just seen, that was your position. What you have just seen, that is the wrath of God for sin. What you have just seen is what was your destiny. But Jesus Christ had to take all that so that you can be right with God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ went and died. He was killed. He was buried. The Bible says when he died, we died with him. When he was buried, we are buried with him. But we never received that whipping. But when he rose, we rose with him. When he was glorified, we are glorified with him. When he is seated at the right side of the Father's hand, we are seated with him because we are united with him. Guess who has become more than a conqueror? We have become more than conquerors. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors. The Bible says. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14. Bible says we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. The light is what enables you to see clearly where you're going. We'll talk more about the light. Without the light, I wouldn't be able to read. Without the light, you wouldn't be comfortable where you are, the reading and writing. That is the light. The Bible says we are the light. We shine for the world to see. One day when all of us are removed from here, the world is going to be in darkness. Total darkness. There will be chaos. Darkness means chaos. But this world is preserved because of you and I. We are the light of the world. And elsewhere he says we are the salt of the world. Although we are in this world, we are not of this world. We are here as representatives of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19. The Bible says we are fellow citizens with God's people. Ephesians 2:10. The Bible says we are God's workmanship. Hallelujah. We are God's workmanship. God's masterpiece. Actually, there is a vision. New Living Translation puts it this way. For we are God's masterpiece.
He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We are God's masterpiece. You and I, when you are in Christ, you are God's masterpiece. These and more, many more other titles throughout the Bible. These are just the few titles that I'm giving you. But you read your Bible. There are several of these titles in the Bible. These titles should mean a lot to a child of God. These titles should mean a lot to a believer. These titles, they are there. They are not just there to describe. They describe a lot of things about us. They describe our identity. They describe our position. And they describe our abilities. These titles are telling us who we are. The kind of people we have become in Christ. I'm here, my brother and sister, to lift you up. I'm here to make you see yourself as God is seeing you. I'm not here to whip you with the word. I haven't been left here to whip you today. I've been left here to exhort you to see yourself as Christ sees you. So that as you walk on the face of this earth, you know the kind of person you are. If someone else tells you something else about you, you say, you just don't know me yet. And I forgive you for that. When we know ourselves, when we know who we are, when we know our position, when we know our abilities, then we should be able to do that which is expected of us. Then certain things that we shouldn't be doing, we're not going to do them because they are going to be below our standards. We will be acting against our culture. Hallelujah. Be exalted today in Jesus' name. That's who you are. These descriptions are describing the kind of person you have become. They're describing what kind of family you've come to belong to. What kind of kingdom you belong to. They're describing the kind of abilities that is at our disposal. You see, part of the device of the devil is to keep you ignorant from these things. If a child of God doesn't know that he's more than a conqueror, he will live in defeat throughout his life or her life. If the child of God doesn't know that he's the light or she is the light of the world, she will be walking in darkness even when she has the light. As a matter of fact, we as children of God do not only walk in the light, we are the light of the world. If the child of God doesn't know that he's more than a conqueror, he represents Christ. He can represent anybody on earth. How many people know that sometimes we have represented the person who is not Jesus Christ? When you sit and you are tearing your brother into pieces in his absence, you are tearing your sister into pieces. I'm just wondering how some people wreck other people's hearts without even any concern. That is against our culture. And you don't feel it in your heart. You're not representing Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is love. And when we represent him here, we represent love to the people. Jesus Christ is forgiveness. When we forgive those that have wronged us, we are representing Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is generous. When we give willingly and cheerfully, we are representing our Father. But the devil will do all he can to keep you ignorant of these things. Before a person does anything wrong in the world,
They forget about these titles. They forget who they are. The other day, my wife and I, in May, we were in Kitwe. I went to do a wedding in Ndola. And then we had spent one night in Kitwe, and then we came back to Ndola. While we were in Kitwe, the day we were leaving Kitwe, coming back to Ndola in preparation for the wedding the other day, we were driving, and there was a crossing in Kitwe, just in town center there. There was a crossing. When we reached that crossing, some of us, you know, the culture on the copper belt of driving is totally different from here. On the copper belt, you're driving. When a person just steps, even if there is no crossing there, the steps on the road, you also stop. You wait. But here in Lusaka, you'll be hit. I was just saying, what culture do we have in Lusaka? Lack of patience. Maybe we're too many with too many cars. And we stopped. Because I was warned. Say, here, don't drive like a Lusaka person. You will be arrested. And so we're driving there. Each time a person steps, even before they step there, as long as you know that they are near the road, you also put your foot on the brake pad. So that if they just jump suddenly in the middle of the road, you just stop. And so we're driving like that. And after we just passed this crossing, because people had crossed, I saw a man in a suit, in a dark suit, tall. He's a young guy, full of energy. And he was shouting at the person who was in the car. And this guy was driving a Toyota Corolla. I don't know what he did. Maybe he was not patient. He nearly hit him. And then he started shouting at him. And then the guy in the car also started shouting back. And so there was this exchange. And the guy said, the only part I heard was, "Hey, do you know the man you're talking to?" And I turned. Is this a young man, slim, tall? "Do you know the man you're talking to?" I said, "Who does he think he is, by the way?" He would have been hit. But then I realized, I said, "No, there is a man who wants to be known." Hallelujah. And some of you walk on the street of Cairo Road, you don't want to be known. You are an ambassador. You are the salt. You are the light. You are the child of God. You are an overcomer, more than a conqueror. The Bible says, you know what we do? We command all these things that are not as though they were. And they come to pass. That's who we are. Hallelujah. This young man wanted to be known. Now, sometimes we want to put ourselves where we are not. I didn't even know him. But he wanted the world to know who he was. There was something in him. Ignorance is bad. Ignorance is terrible. Ignorance of the things I'm talking about is terrible. Is horrible. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. It said, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his device." In Acts chapter 17 verse 30 says, "In the past God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." And so don't stay in ignorance. We've just seen what we have become in Christ Jesus. And different translations, before I come to that, we are a peculiar people. Actually, the title for this message is, "I am peculiar." Hallelujah. I am peculiar. A certain gentleman by the name of Ray Steadman said, and I quote, "Jesus died for us so that he might live in us," of course, through the Spirit. That is a life big enough to carry the loads, strong enough to face the demands. A life so attractive and compelling that men and women are drawn to seek its source. And that's our strategy. To compel
and to attract men and women to seek the source of the life that we carry. The life we carry. Hallelujah. The life we carry is big enough to carry the Lord. Strong enough to face the demands. Hallelujah. Let's look at different translations again. NIV said, but you are a chosen race. New Living Translation says, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. English Standard Version says, but you are a chosen race. New King James Version said, but you are a chosen generation. It's not the generation. When you talk of generation, I know we have a generation at the moment. You've seen young people wearing jeans. They just wear it up to here. It's a generation. But it's not the generation I'm talking about. It's talking about a new breed, a new kind of people. The basic Bible in basic English says, but you are a special people, a holy priest and kings. Ooh, a holy nation, priests and kings, a people given up completely to God so that you make clear the virtues of him who took you out of the dark into the light of heaven. The Derby Bible translation reads, but ye are a chosen race, kingly priesthood, a nation, a holy, a people for a possession, that ye may set forth the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness to his wonderful light. And I'll be talking about these things. Darkness, setting you the excellencies of God, talking of darkness and light. What does it mean to be of a chosen race? Apostle Paul was talking about a corporate, talking about us corporately and individually. Say, we are a chosen race. When we meet as believers, as a board of believers like this, we are that kind of race. But you know, when I'm by myself, I am a chosen race. When we meet corporately or as a church, we are a chosen race made up of individual chosen race. The church is made up by individuals like you. And so this has got nothing to do with the color of our skin. This race, the special race, is non-racial. It's got nothing to do with the color of your skin. This race is a reference to a special people, a brand new people. Born of the incorruptible seed, coming from all races, coming in all shapes and sizes from elsewhere, everywhere. The Bible says we are called from darkness into light. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, we are the light of the world. My brother and my sister, you may not like the shape of my nose. You may not be happy with the color of my eyes, but guess what? I'm this chosen race. I don't care where you come from. I don't know how many names you've been called. I don't know what you've done in the past, but as long as you're in Jesus Christ, I want to let you know that you are this special race. It's got nothing to do with the color. In fact, in the world today, you can come up with a race. If it is by the color, I can change my color anytime I want it. That does not make me a special race. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What gives you your identity? It's not the color of your skin. There is something that gives us our identity. The Bible keeps on referring to it. You are a chosen what? You are a chosen what? It is this chosenness that makes us a special race. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, the Bible said, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The Message Bible puts it this way. It's saying, long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Now, I want you to remove the second us. No, we'll replace both us. You've seen where the us is. Now you're going to read this with me. Where I say us, you put your name. If you are William, where I say us, you say William. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us, put your name there, in mind. Had settled on us, put your name there, as the focus of his love. Hallelujah. The focus of God's love. Have you seen people that are courting? They're yet to get married? Have you seen the way they walk? They come to my office and there's one most important question I like asking them. Just what compelled you to go for this lady? Now the young man, because he knows, giving a wrong answer. Some of these sisters are precious to find. You lose them, you have lost everything. Just hold on to them. Can the sisters say amen?
Amen?
And you hear the answer that comes. When they're walking towards to the car, he opens the door. And then she enters. And then he closes the door. And then he goes round to his door. And then start driving. When they enter a restaurant, he goes to order drinks and food. He brings them, first serves her, and then he serves himself. But it's so unfortunate that when we get married, you can't even get a glass of water from the fridge. Hallelujah! But the focus of love for God is you and me. Hallelujah. Say, that's me. Say, that's me. I'm the focus of God's love. Long before he set us to be the focus of his love, he settled on us as a focus for his love. When somebody asks you this week, who are you? Tell them, this is who I am. A lady picked up a quarrel with a brother's wife. The brother's wife. Talking. And then the sister to this brother said, hey, when I look at you, your face looks just like your back. I don't even know why. My brother chose and settled on you. I don't know why he chose you. He should have done better. The brother's wife turns and looked at her. I said, I don't know either. But he chose me. I'm your brother's wife. Hallelujah. I don't need to go into details. But the fact that he chose me, I am chosen. Some of you, you look into the mirror. Some of you women look, married women look into the mirrors, and then you ask yourself, I don't know what this man saw when he was marrying me. If I do this, he's not even going to love me. And then you begin to do all sorts of things to make a point. No, you don't need to do anything to make a point. He chose you out of the 6 billion in the world. You must be feeling special. There's some people that are not feeling special. That they are children of God. They walk and do things, everything that the world does. Do you know who you are? Do you know what God has done for you? Do you know the name God is calling you? Do you know the position that you occupy? Do you know the authority that you carry? Do you know the man you represent on earth? Ignorance. The devil's tool. Let me tell you something before I wind up. How did this happen? There's that song. Some of you know where the Lord found you. And Idoba picked me up from wherever, then washed me. He lifts me up. That's where we are. How did this happen? It happened by grace. Ephesians chapter 2. 4 through 9, the Bible reads, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by grace, by God's grace, that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places or in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. And so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. I was reading from the New Living Translation. There are two things here. The Bible says we've been raised with Jesus Christ. And the other thing says we've been seated with Jesus Christ. When he died, we died with him. When he rose, when he was raised, we were raised with him. Atonement was complete when he died. He atoned for our wrong, our sins, and everything. It ended there. But the Bible says this. It says, when he's seated in the heavenly realm, on the right side of the Father, the Bible says we are seated with him because we are united with him. This is what has happened. This is the chair the Father is. You know, when you go to a board meeting or something, those important meetings, you say all guests should be seated by 9:30 hours. And then the guest of honor will be arriving 15 minutes later. When the guest of honor comes, he's got a chair which is longer here than the rest of the chairs. Probably more comfortable than any other chair. And he sits in front. He's given more room probably than any other person. He sits here. The Father is here. Guess who sits on the right side? The immediate side of the chairman is the number two to that person. In importance at that function. He sits here. Right on the side, the right side. The right side signifies the authority and the privilege. It signifies power. If the president came here, the president of the Republic of Zambia came here with his vice president, he will sit here and the vice president will be here. The other time we were doing a funeral here, they were the deputy army or air force commander was here. Guess what? We made him sit there, and we are told no one else is going to sit on his right. So he sat there, we put a table there. All those chairs were empty. The rest sat on his left, because there was no one else to sit on his right. And I said, come on, this guy has no authority. Believers should know authority that way too. And so our Father is here. Guess who is here? The Son. Jesus Christ. No one is on the left. Guess who's next here? The Son. And who is next? You. Because you are united with Christ. You are here. It's a place of authority. A place of power. That's where you are. That's what has happened to you. Which means, therefore, you have got access to the throne of God. The book of Ephesians says, we can now walk boldly and confidently to the throne of mercy, and that we can obtain mercy, or to the throne of grace, that we can obtain mercy, we can obtain help in the time of our need. You know what that means? You've got authority. Not only do you share the throne with Jesus Christ, not only do you share the position with Jesus Christ, you share both the authority and the glory. When you represent him here, you represent him in all these attributes. The president of the Republic of Zambia doesn't need to be at the checkpoint of the police in Cairo Road or anywhere. He doesn't need to be there. In fact, he doesn't even need to put his second in command there. All he needs to put a constable there. That constable is carrying the authority from the president. And a huge truck is coming this way. The poor lady, small, skinny, skinner than me, just stand in the middle of the road and does this. The huge truck just comes, ooh. You open the door, the guy that is coming out of it is 3 times bigger than me. And it's almost 1.5. He's coming out, and this young lady just say, hey, sir, at what speed were you driving? Can I see your driving license? Do you resist? You look at her, she's alone. But what do? You respect the authority. Because you mess up with this young lady, you are messing up with the state house. The whole government machinery pounces on you, you are in big trouble. Have you seen, sometimes when one policeman catches you or two, when you're going to the police station, they're very kind to you. They're even talking to you. The moment a few yards from the police station, they even begin to push you. Come on, dear. You have authority over the devil, authority over the enemy. Let me just end with this thing. You've been chosen as a priest and a king. You've been chosen as a royal priesthood, as a nation, a holy nation. Let me show something here before I close. You are God's people, God's own possession. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, he says, oh, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The purpose for his choice is that we show the virtues of him who has called us from darkness into his marvelous light. The original word for that word, the mercies, the excellencies of God, or the virtues, is actually, it means good quality. It means the excellence of God. It means his goodness. And the things that make for the praise of God. That's what we are talking about here. In other words, you have been chosen to show forth the glory of God. When you worship him, when you do things that are supposed to be done, you are showing forth the glory of God. When we worship, when we proclaim the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ, when we walk in authority, that's what we are doing. You have got what is known as believer's authority by virtue of you being. And so stop pulling down strongholds. When you are seated with Christ there, the Bible says we are far above principalities. We are far above powers and dominions. You know, when Lucifer was thrown from there, he was never accepted back. He was never taken back. Guess who went there? It's you and me. He no longer has a place in heaven. He is right here. The Bible says we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and dominions and authority. Now, when you are casting a devil, you are looking up. When you are casting a devil, you go to the mountain, you are looking to the wrong place. He's here. I'm preaching better than some of you are saying amen. I want us to hear an amen. Is it just the few that know that the devil is here? Is it those that are saying, I mean, are they the only ones that know that the devil has been put there? They have got access to the throne of mercy? That's why the Bible says this. It says, believe in the light. The book of John chapter 12 verse 36 says this. John 12:36 says, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. When the Bible talks of the light, it's talking of knowledge. Remember, the Bible is saying, into his marvelous light. Marvelous means wonderful light. When you get converted, the transition that takes place is as intense and it is as rapid, somebody said, as actually getting up, being translated from a midnight into a midday. And so when you walk in the darkness, you're walking in ignorance. You don't know what belongs to you. You don't know what kind of person you become. You are in darkness. When you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you're walking in darkness. And the Bible says we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light, into the wonderful light, the wonderful knowledge of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we've been translated into. We are children of the light. We walk and we shine for everybody to see in this world. We've got this knowledge of who we are in us. We walk in the light. We cannot be deceived. We cannot be ignorant. We cannot be cheated by anybody because we know who we are. And the Bible said, let the redeemed say so. Glory be to God. This is what God has done for us. And Apostle Paul calls this in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 12. He said, this is true grace. All this God has done it for us. We never merited for it. We never qualified for it. There was nothing good that we did. In fact, the Bible says we were called when we were dead in our sins. By grace, you've been saved. Can you imagine what God has done for you? Removing you from where you were. The Bible says before we were no people, but now we are the people of God. Before we had no kingdom, but now we are kings and priests in the kingdom of God. This is what God has done. You never qualified for this. There was nothing good in you and me to deserve all this. But today, you can walk in the throne room of God and seek help in time of need. You've got the access. When you have a headache, sometimes, you know, yesterday when I'm preparing these things, and suddenly in the morning, there was this headache that came from, I don't know. Now I'm saying, tomorrow I'm preaching. With this headache like this, what am I going? How am I going to stand and preach? Now, when I was still in bed, and this I have experienced this headache before. It was so severe, it was so bad that I thought I need to go to the clinic. I told my wife I had to go to the clinic. She woke up and said, "Can I stop what I'm doing so that I can attend to you?" You know, men, we always, we all need the care from. I say, honey, go ahead and do what you want to do. Go to town. When you come back, I want to go to the clinic. But you know, after I'd remained, that scripture started coming to me. I said, do you know who you are? But do you know your position?
Compare yourself to the position of that headache, where it is coming from, the source. Do you know your abilities, what you're capable of doing? And this question started bombarding me, left, right, center. And I'm like, hey, what am I saying? I got out of bed. And I thought I was going to pray and say, and rebuke the headache. The Bible says, and within me, I said, no, don't rebuke the headache. You know, just magnify God. At this point in time, magnify God. You know, when you magnify God, everything else shrinks. I just woke up. I said, Father, you are great. I started worshiping God that I've never worshiped before. I reached a point where I could not stand. I just laid down, just worshiping my God. I saw God. When we say we're magnifying God, it doesn't make him any bigger, except that we become bigger in the knowledge of him. By the time I finished from there, that headache, what time it disappeared, I don't know. I don't even need to know. The truth of the matter is that it disappeared, and from that day to date, it's not there. Know who you are. Know your abilities. Know who you are representing. You are a child of God. Don't act contrary to who you are. You know, when you magnify things, they become the rule over you. I've seen some of the DVDs and the videos that we watch from certain countries. Oh, they will talk about the devil's powers and everything. About 98% is how powerful the devil is. And then at the end, they say, praise be to Jesus. Guess what? What you have spent time meditating upon is what you are becoming. Do you know that the higher the devil hierarchy, the more knowledgeable they know of who you are. The biggest devil is the most aware person of who you are. Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. You know, the devil was answering. He was speaking like that. He was the leader of all the devils of all the demons in those guys. Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Mark, we know. William, we know. Walker, we know. John, we know. Imelda, we know. Mary, we know. Matilda, we know. Who are you? Sometimes all the demons know us except for ourselves. That's where we are at the mess. When they know that you are in ignorance, they will mess you up. Oh no, where I come from, where we know, where we come from. Hey, you come from the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Hallelujah. I just want you to meditate upon the word that is coming to you. I want you to ask yourself today, who am I? If that question is coming to you, how are you going to answer it? Who am I? What position am I occupying? Whose kingdom am I representing here? Who am I? Our God. Do I deserve what you're talking about? Who am I? Who am I that have given so much power, authority? Who am I that I can come and walk just in your throne room at will and you tolerate me? Oh God, is it me? I want to know that's who you are. Walking in the light. And while, before we go deep into prayer, I want to give an opportunity to someone here. While all of us, every eye closed, while we're meditating and answering that question with the word of God, I want to ask here, if you are here, you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you haven't received him at all, this is what you're missing. These are the privileges. Accepting Jesus Christ is not just an entitlement to go to heaven, but it's to live this kind of life. Heaven notices and recognizes you this way.
and you're saying, Pastor, I don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are still in darkness. Then you are outside the kingdom we are talking about. You are not among the race we are talking about. And you say, Pastor, I'm here. How can I get there? The Bible says, repent. And you say, Pastor, I want to be part of that kingdom. I want to be part of that kingdom myself. Wherever you are, if you're here, I'd like to give you an opportunity. Can you raise your hand? I want to pray with you and lead you into the Lord, and that you can be included and be part of that. Are you here? Is anyone here that would like to accept the Lord Jesus? Thank you for that hand at the back. I've seen you. Put it down. Thank you. Who would follow that one? Say, I want to be that person. I want to belong to that group. Anyone else here that would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Anyone? Before we close, glory be to God. Thank you. Thank you for that hand over there. Thank you. Put it down. Anyone else would like to join? Time has come. It's time to live in the light. It's time to leave the dark world. You will hurt yourself even where you're not supposed to. Anyone else? I'd like to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're so precious in the eyes of God. The Bible says He knew you before the foundation of the earth. And He focused His love on you. He settled on you. Don't leave this place unsaved. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the light of the word of God coming to us. As we leave this place, sovereign Lord, I pray that today is my day to show you. Today is my day to reflect your glory, your nature, to exercise the authority you have given me. Father, I pray that I'll be the catalyst of change for the world that is walking in darkness. Thank you, Lord. Could we all just stand up now? Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to ask those who raise their hands at the back. No one moves out now. No one goes out. Everybody remains where we are. Please, let's respect the hour. This is a defining moment for some people. Those who raise your hand, their hands. Oh, you are here. You said, I wish I had raised my hand. I delayed. I want you to walk to the front and meet with me to the front right now. Those hands that were raised, please grab everything you came with. If you came with a bag, a cell phone or anything, just grab them and walk to the front and meet with me. If there is anybody else that should have raised their hand, they didn't, just come and meet me in front here. I want to pray with you in Jesus' name. Just come. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, madam. Thank you. Who joined this? These are defining moments. If you are here, just come to the front. You don't need to walk in darkness. Time has come. Thank you, my sister. Glory be to God. Anyone else? Time is running out. I want to pray with you. You are so special. If God had you and He set His focus, you as the focus for His love, way before you even accepted Him, that shows how important these people standing in front of me are. You're so precious in the eyes of God. You've been created to walk in the light so that you execute the government of your God. Hallelujah. Destiny is awaiting you. You are destined for heaven and not anywhere else. Hallelujah. I want you to raise your right hand. Just raise it and close your eyes. And I want the church, just raise your hand towards us here and repeat this after me. Father God, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for Jesus Christ, your son. You sent him to die for the sins that I committed. He never knew it. He never committed it. But I did. I deserved the punishment. I deserved the wrath of God. But Jesus Christ took my place to set me free. Now today, I want to accept him and acknowledge him as Lord of my life. Jesus Christ, I now give you my life. Forgive me of all the sins that I've committed.
Translate me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Right now, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And from today on, I choose to live for you and choose to live to execute your government. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for washing me. Thank you for accepting me as a child of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you for these that have accepted you today. And I thank you, Father, for the new journey that I've started. And I pray and I commit them in your hands in Jesus' name. I pray for protection over their lives, God, that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide them. They will be protected from all forces of evil in Jesus' name. Thank you that every curse that was pronounced upon their lives is lifted today in Jesus' name. They now walk in freedom as children of God. Thank you for giving them access to heaven. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you.